morning. I'm Lynn Reinhart. Hosanna to the Son of David. So sang people long ago as Jesus entered Jerusalem, and so sing we. Welcome to Palm Sunday worship. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on K-Check Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, ZionLeSueur.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. Today's radio broadcast is sponsored in honor of Pastor Jan's 40th anniversary of her ordination into ministry and in thanksgiving for her ministry at Zion. The bulletins are provided in celebration of John Lave's 86th birthday. Thank you to all who give to this mission. The sermon today is titled Borrowed Time by Pastor Jan. Join us on Thursday for the Maundy-Thursday service on Thursday evening, beginning at 7 p.m. The Good Friday service will be at First Lutheran Church, beginning at 7:30 p.m. Come celebrate the resurrection of Christ at the Easter service on Sunday, April 20th, 9 o'clock a.m. Holy Communion will be served. The choir and bells will be a part of the service. This year's Easter offering will be divided between Zion Heating Upgrade Project and the LeSueur Food Shelf. Envelopes will be included in the mailing that was sent out or available in the pews. We will be collecting next Sunday. The change of season triggers a need for change in the decorations in the entryway flower urns. Please contact the church office if you would like to share your talent by updating the decorations. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Let us now join in worship.
One more quick announcement. I'm Bob Brown, president of your church council. The council has set a goal of raising $100,000 in a special fund drive. The drive will last through the end of the year for those who wish to wait and see what they could donate to help with their income tax planning. Well, the heating upgrade is projected to be $70,000, which, by the way, a little bit of work has already started. We are hoping to make use of the remaining funds to cover the repair costs of the elevator, which have already been done, which was about $9,000, and replace the old and very ineffective storm windows along the stained glass windows of the sanctuary here, and replace the old flower cooler that appears to never shut off, and thereby using a lot of excess electricity use without any benefit. The fund is off to a great start with a very generous donation of $10,000 already. We will be displaying posters in both the north and south entries with updates of our progress, as well as monthly updates in the Bulletin and the Zion Herald. If you wish to donate, you can put an envelope labeled Heating Fund in the collection plate or drop it off at the office. Thank you.
Lowly, Jesus came, riding on a donkey. They prepared his path, shouted praises, waved palm branches. See, your king comes to you. Yet Jesus wept because they couldn't see. Their king had come. They wanted to be saved, but they couldn't see the Savior before them. Let us open our eyes. Our King has come. Raise your hands. Raise your voice. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us see that Jesus is the way. Shout, Hosanna! To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We gather this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please join with me now in our call to worship. O give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Lift up your heads, O mighty gates, that the King of glory may enter. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us celebrate with songs of Hosanna. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Please stand as we join together in our opening hymn, number 117. Join with me now in our prayer of confession. O God, in Jesus Christ, you were greeted with shouts of joy in Jerusalem. But the end of the week brought pain, sorrow, and rejection. Forgive us that we do not understand. Those brief moments of triumph were proclaimed by those who did not understand your mission. Even those of us who claim to be Christian would rush from the excitement of Palm Sunday to the joy of Easter. In so doing, we forget to walk the way of the cross, brushing past the suffering and ignoring the reality of death. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to walk in the footsteps of Christ our Savior, knowing that as we do so, we may fully claim the joy of Easter. Amen. Friends, the good news to us this Palm Sunday is this. Christ died for our sins. He personally bore our sins in his body on the cross that you and I might be dead to sin and alive to all that's new and good. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, We are loved and accepted as we are today. Thanks be to God. Amen. God's own forgiven people, redeemed by the blood of Christ. Let us therefore greet one another with the peace of Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Children say, through guilt, court, and death.
I know that many of you are aware that Brandon and Shiloh were blessed with a brand new baby girl this past week. Her name is Hilda Say, and that's her middle name. Isn't that a lovely middle name? Hilda Say Kale. And even as we speak right now, Hilda is undergoing surgery at Children's Hospital in Minneapolis. She is a fighter. What a strong little baby she is. She's been on the ventilator and several treatments to give her enough strength to endure this surgery, which they hope will repair all the organ issues that she's experiencing right now in her young little life. So please hold Hilda, her mom and dad, and her brother and sister, Hattie, and little baby Russ in your prayers this morning, as well as Christy Johnson, who actually had her second tracheotomy, prayers of healing for Marilyn Johnson, Arden Kraler, and the Kale baby girl. Thank you for those prayers. The family of Mary Coulter of Henderson, and the family of Shelley Sheila Herman, both of whom passed away. We pray also for Shelby Leaders, and we pray that she will quickly return to us. She's been under the weather for several weeks, but we plan on having her back. Maybe Easter, right? That would be wonderful. Will you join with me now in prayer? Gracious God, thank you that we've joined together this morning in joy and celebration for Jesus' triumphal entry into the holy city of Jerusalem. We thank you for all the people who gathered there, whether they fully understood or not, your mission for Jesus. We thank you, gracious God, for the ability to gather here in freedom. Though many of the people of Jerusalem were not free that day, they were under the thumb of Roman government. We thank you, God, also for the lives of people in this congregation, people who in ways seen and unseen serve you in quiet ways, sometimes behind the scenes. Bless them, Lord God. Bless them with energy. Thank you for their time. Gracious God, we also pray that this church will be a sanctuary for those who are lost and forgotten in this world. We pray that we will be steadfast in keeping your word, and that you'll reveal to us the places where we may have been in error, or places that we have forgotten. Help us, Lord, and form us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. We lift before you and your throne of grace Shelby Leaders. We lift before you the family of Mary Coulter, Sheila Herman, for Marilyn Johnson, for little Hilda. And we thank you for the joys that are ours. We thank you for the joy of sharing birthday blessings with the family of John Lave. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of his life. And now, Lord, as we continue in our worship, remind us that we should simply sometimes be still and know that you are God. And there are times where we must shout Hosanna. Help us, Lord, in this world that's been shaken by natural disasters and war, poverty, and hunger. Help us, Lord, to be agents of your healing and mercy. Bring us into your kingdom, Lord. And there with all the redeemed, we shall glorify you in the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. In the name of Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever. Amen.
The gospel reading today is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who went sent departed and found he had told them, departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Will you join with me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations upon all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I have some good news this morning. The human race is not doomed. At least according to a popular internet blog, the author of that blog uses real life stories to remind readers that we human beings have this mysterious capacity for goodness. A goodness that the blogger thinks might just save the world. Let me share a couple of those with you this morning. This from a young man. "Our house caught on fire. The whole house was going up in flames. I'd been running around outside barefoot and had an asthma attack from the smoke in the air. A woman in our neighborhood opened up her home to me and my three younger siblings and gave me a pair of shoes to wear. I'll never forget that." This one from a young mother. "I was leaving the grocery store. My child was crying and it was pouring rain. A man old enough to be my grandfather saw me, opened up his umbrella, and walked me over to my car. When I got my son into his car seat, this kind man folded up his umbrella and handed it to me. 'Here,' he said, 'I have another one. You can just take this.' I was so surprised, I don't even remember if I said thank you." And this last one. "After my family and I lost our home last year, I found myself sobbing in the parking lot of a McDonald's. I didn't think anybody could hear or see me, but a woman came over to my car, gave me a huge hug, pulled out her wallet, and handed me a $50 bill. I kept trying to give it back to her, but she insisted. I never even got her name." In a way, Palm Sunday begins a lot like that. It begins with people who showed up in compassion and courage when it would have been just easier to look the other way. The most important parade of all time began at the home of a man who owned a donkey, a man whose name we'll never know, a man who, without ever asking for a photo ID or credit card numbers, turned over his most prized possession to a couple of traveling disciples. On that same morning, hundreds of people, old and young, male and female, were hurrying around the house, putting on their best and getting ready for the most important parade in history. Long before those happy shouts and the palm branches were strewn on the ground, the week that would change the world began in quiet hope. In the early morning stillness of that little village on the outskirts of Jerusalem, the King of the universe was climbing on to the back of a colt. Now, for almost 2,000 years, Palm Sunday has marked the beginning of Holy Week, a week that begins with shouts of Hosanna and ends in whispers of anguish and despair. Jesus is living on borrowed time. If you knew you had less than a week to live, what might you do with that time? Maybe you'd go to the best restaurants and order up some fancy food. Maybe you'd get on a plane and try to see the world. Maybe, though, you'd try to mend broken relationships. Maybe you'd give away a few things. Maybe everything. At the beginning of Jesus' last week on earth, he climbed onto a donkey and rode into trouble. And here, Luke takes us back in time, about 600 years, to remind the readers and us that this triumphal entry is the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy from Zechariah. Fear not, for behold, your king comes to you, seated on a donkey's colt. Now, on the other side of Jerusalem, there was another parade going on. Pontius Pilate riding into town on a war horse, flanked by soldiers, followed by those who coveted the power and prestige of Rome. This was an annual event, according to historians, and it was orchestrated intentionally to interfere with the beginnings of the celebration of Passover. And Pilate did this to remind everybody who was really in control. As Christians, especially for those who grew up in the church, we know how absolutely crucial this day, Palm Sunday, is to the story of Jesus. But knowing the story so well, so familiar, may actually be a problem for us. Because it's so loved and well known, we might just forget that Palm Sunday isn't just a celebration. It's actually a call to action. It begins with Jesus telling two disciples to go and find a very special form of transportation. Not a war horse like the one Pilate was riding on, but a baby donkey, a colt, the kind that King Solomon was riding when he entered Jerusalem 1,000 years before Jesus. For those of us in 2025, though, we can hardly imagine the monetary value of that little colt. We talked about that this week at Fusion. It was way beyond the Kelley Blue Book price of the SUV or the pickup truck that you rode in on this morning. A donkey that had never been ridden had the monetary value of a Corvette or a Lamborghini. It was the symbol of kingship. Taking one without permission was considered a capital crime. And it doesn't matter if the disciples told the man they were going to bring it right back. If you caught somebody trying to take your car outside of Rademacher's today, you'd probably still call the police, wouldn't you? Even if those people said they promised to bring it back by 5 o'clock. And yet, for some reason, the owner of that valuable little colt didn't refuse. Luke simply tells us that all he had to hear were these words, "The Lord has need of it." All we know is that in that moment, he relinquished his property rights and realized that it was God doing the asking. God had need of it. Full stop. This is one of the great paradoxes of the ages. Jesus, who was the very incarnation of God, created everything in the universe, and yet he owned nothing. Jesus goes riding into Jerusalem as a conquering king with no wealth, no palace, no army. And for those of us who define our lives around what we own, we might have a hard time grasping that fact. A savior whose only possessions were the robe on his back and the sandals on his feet. This Jesus we worship and adore is the very face of poverty, because everything significant in his life and work was borrowed. The cradle at Bethlehem was borrowed. The boat that Jesus preached from on the Sea of Galilee was borrowed from Peter. Jesus borrowed a coin to preach a sermon about the proper use of money. He borrowed bread and fish to feed the 5,000. The upper room was borrowed. And even after he was taken down from the cross, his body laid in a borrowed tomb. You see, Holy Week reveals to us that life isn't about ownership. It's about lordship. So before our hosannas just drift into space, let's ask ourselves, who is Lord of my life? Is it my job? Is it the opinions of other people? Is it my bank account? Is it my favorite news channel? Who is Lord of my life? Is it Jesus? Because if it's Jesus, then we have to realize that Jesus has really come to borrow us, all of us, to borrow our time, our energy, our gifts, to let him live his life in us, and to put it to use for his purposes, all the things that he created and gave to us. Of course, there are so many things in this world that really want to lay claim on us. A business owner may actually be owned by their business. An athlete might actually be kind of owned by their coach. Our desire to be liked by other people might require that we sell out sometimes, that we might sometimes fail to stand up for what's right. Just as Jesus sent those disciples into the village to untie the colt, the Lord wants to untie us. God wants to set us free. And so as Pontius Pilate is riding into town on the opposite side of Jerusalem, where are we supposed to be? Two parades going on at the same time. Which side of town are we on? Are we on the side of town cheering for Pilate, the cruel politician trampling all over his enemies, or Herod, who's always making himself rich on the backs of the people he's supposed to serve? Or are we standing in wonder and joy as the Prince of Peace rides to his cross and our redemption? But remember now, Jesus is on borrowed time. And so are we. We can try to be on both sides at once. Plenty of people in our country right now claim that you really can. Christian nationalism claims that America is a country founded by and designed for the followers of Jesus. And that's not a new idea either. It's a form of idolatry as old as the Ten Commandments. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of Lent, from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he was facing Satan out in the wilderness. He intentionally went out there into the wilderness to face that exact temptation, the temptation to impose the kingdom of heaven by blood and iron and force and fear. Just read through the pages of the Old Testament, the parade of failures in kings and nations when they tried to put God in the box of their government. But if you don't have time to do all that reading, this story of Palm Sunday is really all you need. Jesus isn't riding a war horse. He's not wearing a helmet or carrying a sword. He's not a symbol of our government or any government of this world. This Friday, Good Friday, we're going to hear again those beautiful words from Jesus as he faced Pilate. "My kingdom," Jesus said, "my kingdom is not of this world." And I don't think I can ever read this passage of scripture this morning that Judy read without knowing that. I can't ever think of it again without knowing what was Jesus' true mission. His power, his justice, his truth. They're all in this world, but they are not of this world. And folks, ultimately, neither are we. Because in the final analysis, our job is not to shape Jesus into our own image and place his name on our voting ballots. Our job is more like that of the little donkey. Our role is to carry Jesus. Our job is to carry his truth, to carry his deep divine goodness, his joy, his commitment. You remember those stories I was telling you this morning about strangers helping people? That's how the Lord has need of us. You don't have to be a lobbyist. You probably won't need to send a rocket out into space to prove your point. But do you have an umbrella? Do you have an extra pair of shoes? Can you pray? Can you love without checking the color of someone's skin or judging them by the people they happen to love? Well, if you can do those things, then you're in the right parade. And you're right exactly where you belong. Because Jesus doesn't want only our hosannas. He wants our hearts. And his work will not be finished until he has them. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the choir forward and our ushers forward for the morning offering. Please join with me in prayer. Gracious God, we bring before you today not only the fruits of our lives, but our very hearts. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share but a portion of what we have already so richly received from your hands. Now lead us out this day, gracious God, with shouts of Hosanna, with hope in our hearts and love in our lives. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Will you join together now in our closing hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 216.
Go in peace. Go in joy.
Thanks be to God.